Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
this is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait! Let's get
this is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number three, Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN. What do we call it, Bart?
The Power Hour! Hit a pump, you up! You up!
That's right. 800-919-3776 is the number. Want your bold prediction about your team this weekend. Bold prediction. Don't give me this whole, I think we're going to win. That's not a bold prediction. I'm talking, give me something specific.
How you going to win? Well, if somebody come in.
How you're going to win.
I hope, listen, no Debbie Downers. Debbie Downers, so they're going to come. Hey, we're going to get smashed. Yeah. Hawk smash.
I think we're right. No, I think it's fine. If you think, you know what, we're just going to get destroyed again.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't even see us, getting any, we're not going to be able to run the ball against the Broncos. You want to say that? If you want to say Matty Ice going to light us up, you could do that too. That's a bold statement. I want to hear from you on that at 800-919-3776. Show your work, as Bart Scott would say as well. But man, I'll tell you what, Bart, last night, I asked this question yesterday. Mm-hmm. I asked it of the people, and I asked it again. My fellow Jet fans, I said, we're watching this as a family, right? Because it's football. We're going to watch the game.
You did.
Is what we do. We watch it as a family, not necessarily because of Sam, but Sam happened to be playing. So you watch, and you're like, all right, there he is. All right. There he is sitting too long in the pocket. There he's holding the ball too long in the pocket. Okay. A couple of times, got stripped of the ball. They got lucky. Were able to find it. So there were those moments where you're like, yeah, that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were other moments. And for me, and those who remember me from my show at night, Anthony can attest to this. I would watch that draft, that 18 draft. I watched a ton of those quarterbacks. Yeah. All of them. I watched Wyoming football. I watched a lot of Louisville. I watched all of them.
Because you knew you were getting one.
Yeah, exactly. I had a feeling we were going to get one of them. And Sam, I watched closely. For 2 years, I watched him.
Mm.
And I saw last night, that's USC Sam.
Mm.
Not perfect. A little awkward at times.
A little erratic with the ball in the pocket, fumbling the ball in the pocket, something he did when he was at USC.
But he had a look in his eye that you didn't see often with the Jets, and that is a look of confidence, control. Even when McCaffrey went out of the game, you wanted to see, all right, is the offense going to sputter now? He lost a really important weapon. Now the defense can say, all right, we don't have to worry about McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So now we can really lock in on him. And he seemed under control. He seemed fine.
Took a beating, too. Took a bit of a beating.
Yeah, I mean, he's been that guy. But he also ran the ball a few times. I mean, the one time, the whole pocket just, it was like a rugby. They all just gathered around and just shoved him into the end zone. He lost his helmet and everything. But I'm watching this game, and I'm not feeling a certain way. I'm not, upset. I'm not thinking, boy, did we screw up? J-Dub's quickly texting about how we have to have the conversation. Did they make a mistake? I'm still of the belief, Bart, that we won't know about this for a year or two. Zach Wilson is supposed to have the arm talent, the potential that is higher than Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Yes, you could have. The conservative thing to do would have been to keep Sam, trade the pick, get some pieces, and see if you can just build from here with a new coach and a new OC and all that stuff. Yeah. And Robert Saleh would have been fine with that.
You had to pick up the
option. Said, no, there's something a little extra special about Zach Wilson that we are going to buy into, and we're going to see if it turns into something that could be better than what we had. That's all that
was. And
they
knew they were going to get him, too. It's not like we have to move up, we have to do this.
No.
We're sitting at two, we get our pick. See, with Sam Darnold, they had to give up the three second-round draft picks to move up to get him.
Yeah.
This one said, hey, just stay put, and let's get who we think is the best quarterback in this draft at number two. And it's unfortunately, it's going to cost us our number three pick from a couple years ago. But guess what? We get to save money because we don't have to pick up his option. We don't have to, give him $20 million next year. We don't have to, give him a long-term contract after that. We can start over again. We don't have to make these vital decisions to our organization. We can just get better pieces around him and see how, we can develop a young quarterback.
I just don't feel I don't feel like it's worth getting upset now about it. I think it's something that, unfortunately, as fans, we don't have that ability to just sit back and watch. Mm-hmm. We want that immediate. We just want the instant gratification. You're not going to get it. Now, you might, maybe you will get it in time. Maybe even this season, Zach will do a couple of things, and you'll be like, all right, I feel good. Like, I know that after week one, nobody was thinking, like, Zach Wilson's terrible, he's a butt. Nobody was thinking that.
They doubled down.
Just because he made some questionable throws. And you already pointed out the first interception. Yeah, I mean, you broke that down earlier in the show, just like exactly what happened there and how it really wasn't all on the kid. The second interception went through the receiver's hands.
So
the next two, trying too hard.
Yeah, that's all of him, trying to make up for the bad throw.
That's what it is,
trying too hard. One throw.
So I just, like, it's one thing if this was like a Christian Hackenberg thing, where you're just like, this guy's like, he can't play. You know, like, that's complete. Then you really are mad. But how do you possibly start having buyer's remorse before you even know what you got in somebody that every expert says, and I always say talent recognizes talent, that kid's got something. So let's see this week against a really good Broncos defense, if he did learn a little bit of a lesson, dial it back. If also his receivers maybe had a talking to you, like, Bart, I'm sorry, I'd have a message to some of these receivers. Hey, go get the ball.
Yeah.
Like, why? Don't got to go get the ball.
You got to earn
enough
the
with the drops.
Yeah, you got to earn
enough
the
with it hitting your hands. And, like, let's make sure that everybody is on the same page. Chemistry is going to be important. Timing, all that stuff does take time. But I am not, even after watching Sam throw for 800 plus, almost 900 yards in his first three games, go 3-0, look good. I am not even close to wanting to just start burning jerseys and giving up on a franchise and start calling for Joe Douglas's head. Not yet.
Now, that's been their problem. They've always given up too quickly. They ought to understand that they're in the process again. Now, do you want to try and start another process? Sam's not coming back, bro. It's a wrap.
It's like, gone.
He's gone. So you have to live or die with this kid, because now for the next 3 to 4 years, definitely the 3 years, he's yours. He's yours. So you better rally behind him and support him and figure out, what do we have to do to make this right? Right? Nobody was like, it wasn't a ringing endorsement with Josh Allen his first year. We didn't know, right? Sam Darnold was still, I didn't know. You know, Baker Mayfield came in and he, like, did some good things, but they didn't go anywhere. Listen, this is about resetting the clock, building your foundation, and then this is off to a better start, because we believe that Morgan Moses, if they keep him around after next year, you think you have Vera Tucker, you think you have your left side ready.
Becton,
now it's time to secure the, now it's time to secure the right side. Right?
And center.
Exactly. So center and right side. That's what I mean. Center
and
right
side. Ben Roden's really been, he's had a rough go.
It's crazy. Van Roden. Yeah, but yeah, McGovern had a good game. So,
yeah.
You know, it's about that, right? It's about building blocks. Defense looks good. You hope that, you know, Carl Lawson's going to come back after this year, and Franklin Myers, you're going to have to pay. Marcus May, you got to make a decision on. And listen, they're doing well without any lockdown corners. What happens if they actually go out in the draft next year and go get one, or get one in free agency? So, listen, the building blocks are there, but listen, you can't see the puzzle when you're just starting to put the corners together. You're just putting the corners together. You didn't even fill out the middle of the puzzle yet. So just relax, man. Just finish building the outside of the puzzle.
Yeah, and I go back to, like we said yesterday, I don't want to belabor this, but again, it's more or less where there are fans who have been waiting a very, very long time since the days when you were there, all right? And you came oh so close 2 years in a row. It's been, well, how long do we have to wait? Well, unfortunately, the reset button was hit again, and now you're starting over with somebody who's incredibly young in the embryonic stages of his career. And meanwhile, the guy you had is now finally showing, or at least showing you what you knew you had in him. I mean, remember, he did go 7-6 as a starter in 2019.
Yeah.
He did show some signs, but the organization failed him. That's why those guys got fired.
And we knew they didn't believe in the coach. So let's see. Like Sal is a young coach, 40 years old. You think about
LaFleur is young.
I mean, yeah, LaFleur is young, right? So also, right. And you look at Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas is young. Joe Douglas might be 42 years old. So, like, you have a young beginning, right? Like, and like, when you think about it and you look at all these organizations like the Patriots, right? Remember how old Bill was there when he got there? Like, it's guys that start off young. Look at Mike Tomlin. Like, how young he was when he got there. You guys finally got your young coach, Bill Cowher, 36 years old. Like, you have your young nucleus. Let's see if they can grow and develop together. And it's going to be hiccups along the way, right, as they figure it out. But they're going to figure it out. But you have to spend time with each other to
show
figure
me
it
the
out.
Adjustments.
It's
now, that's what I want to see now after what was just so embarrassing. Although the running game wasn't embarrassing, but what was just so embarrassing was the turnovers.
Yep.
And you know, at least two of them you couldn't completely put on the quarterback, but two you definitely could. So now it's okay. Let's see how you adjust, how you grow from here, how you get better, and let's just watch this develop over time. Meanwhile, unfortunately, you're just going to have to sit back and watch what Sam Darnold is doing with Carolina. Now, after the injuries that Carolina just went through last night in a Thursday night game, losing McCaffrey, losing J.C. Horn on the defensive side, I mean, you know, and that offensive line was a bit shaky. What is going to happen to Carolina? I mean, is that the most Fugazi 3-0 that we could, you know, like, are they, is that a team you're believing in?
I mean,
I'm happy for him, but can you see them sustaining this kind of dominance?
They, they beat the Texans, right?
Yeah.
And they beat
the Jets.
No. And they beat the Saints, who had one of the craziest weeks of all. We don't believe the Saints
coaches,
are that, right?
Right, yeah.
You can't look as good as the Saints look week one and beating Green Bay. And then look that bad against Carolina. Well, one, they're not at home. Two, they're practicing, playing in out of state because what happened back at their home. And then they had eight coaches that had COVID that week.
All right. So with that in mind, again, we're going to get to the calls in a minute here. Again, your bold prediction on your team, 800-919-3776. On the other side, this is a game you called the Bum Bowl.
Bum Bowl.
I'm sorry. Actually, it was Bart Stradamus who called it the Bum Bowl.
Right? Not me. Don't call me and complain with me. Bart Stradamus said
it. Any reason for me to reference Bart Stradamus means, of course, I have to hit the gong.
Bum.
Falcons, Giants, the game Sunday. There's a lot of emotion, of course, at MetLife as Eli Manning will see number 10 be retired. And there's, you know, it's 10 years since the Super Bowl. But so there's emotion there. Saquon Barkley, you've called him out. Christian McCaffrey gets hurt coming back from his, and they were, you know, they were using him. They were like, no, we're all in. Full throttle. He's back. He's our weapon. Let's use him. Three games in, he gets hurt. Is this kind of why, like, you look at Saquon, ease him back?
Well, maybe hammies are different, man. No, right?
Well, it's all related.
Yeah, but hammies, did you see what he was doing? He was hot dogging.
Okay.
He was hot dogging, and, you know, like, much when you hot dog, you. Stuff like that happen. I don't say you deserve it, but you can't be doing all that. Like, what was the high step kick thing? Like, scissor kicks.
He was trying to mess. You just mess with the defender.
Like, and put his hands. He's showing him up. No, that's like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. How that feel?
So to me, again, it's another week where I don't know if I'm. Like, you last week put a lot on Saquon. I would say, no, it's Daniel Jones I want to watch. And I thought Daniel Jones came out looking good.
Should have
despite
had a
the loss. They should have won the damn game. We know it.
He should have had a touchdown if they weren't holding.
And you're right about that,
too. That wasn't even a good hold. That was a crappy hold.
Another terrific run from him. But this is a game now against the Falcons. I hate doing the must-win thing, right? But you're 0-2. This is a team that's also 0-2. You're better than them. Your home
team hung with Tampa.
It's going to be a beautiful day. I mean, so the weather says it's going to be a gorgeous Sunday in New York at MetLife. This is a game you get a dub, and then you really start to kind of like they need a feel good win. Out of all the 0-2 teams, Bart, this is the 0-2 team that I look at and I think they get this win, they can start looking forward to, okay, now let's be who we thought we were going to be this season, right? I mean, Minnesota's playing Seattle. That's not an easy game for an 0-2 team.
Yeah.
Minnesota should be 1-1. Another, just like the Giants, they should be 1-1. They missed a damn kick. For the Giants, it was a missed kick, but they gave them a second chance at it. For Minnesota, you had the game. It was a 37-yard. You should have won it. They didn't. So the other 0-2 team, I mean, Jacksonville, I'm not seeing them go anywhere. The Jets, obviously, again, Detroit, they're not going anywhere. You know, I mean, the Colts, that's a, you know, against Tennessee is a huge game, but Carson Wentz, a game time decision. Yeah, so to me, the two teams I'm looking at is Minnesota and the Giants. And if you give me those two teams out of all the 0-2s that are facing it, you got to win this game.
Yeah.
It's the Giants who've got to win this game.
Who got the Saints after that? We know what the schedule is, and that's what I was trying to.
Well, I don't care. I'm not looking past it.
That's what I'm saying. They better win this.
Give me this, and then I can start saying, all right, because now I can look at the loss that should have been a win and say, well, now you really should be 2-1. I don't feel as bad. I think you can be a very competitive team. But if you lose to Matt Ryan and whoever the hell else is on this team, right? Kyle Pitts.
Ooh.
Like, if you lose to this, I mean, I guess Ridley's good too. But if you lose to the Falcons at home on Eli Day,
that's a big thing.
I'm writing you off. I'm sorry. I'm writing you off. You lose this game. Last week should have been a win. I can't entirely hold it against you. Although it was sloppy, there were moments. This is one. You get this. I'm not writing you off. I'm still going to buy in because you thought they were going to win the division. I thought they'd be a competitive team this year.
What are you expecting out of Saquon Barkley?
I'm not expecting a lot. No, I still think you were going to bring him.
He's had 10 days off. So where we made the excuse for him, or it's Thursday, he's had 10 days off. He had a 40-yard run last game. Can he sustain that? Can he give you more than that? Can he give you more? Can he give you 15 to 20 carries? He's going to have to do that because really what helps that RPO really work is the fact that Saquon Barkley needs to be a legitimate threat. Or guess what they'll start doing? They'll start playing for the quarterback keeper and not and saying give it to Saquon because we know he's not going to go. Like, I mean, Danny Dimes is breaking off explosives, 40, 50-yard runs.
And these are play calls. This is not him improvising. These are play calls
They're play calls, but they're play calls RPOs. It's an option in there.
I got you.
And people sleeping on him. But you need Saquon to be a threat so people will keep sleeping on him so he can make him pay with his legs.
All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get some bold predictions in here as we continue in the Power Hour in New York. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN. Let's see. Muhammad's on the island. Muhammad, what do you got?
What's going on, man? I don't have much of a bold prediction. I just wanted to get your opinion on this,
Yep.
You feel probably like I feel the Jets are a lot of pieces away from even being, like, you know, a serious playoff contending team, right?
A lot of people away? No, I wouldn't say – no. Bart, you tell me if I'm wrong. Next, I wouldn't say they're a lot of people away. I think they're
Next year, I expect them to be a playoff contender. When you two first-round draft picks next year, you'll have like
Lawson.
You'll have Lawson coming back, and you'll have plenty of salary cap space as a lot of people, money will be falling off the books. I definitely expect them to be a contender to go to the playoffs next year.
I guess my only question was really, I mean, because I felt like we need a skill position players. We don't really have a lot of offensive line need to be built, but I felt like, did we have to use our number two pick this year on that quarterback?
Well, you know, Muhammad, thanks for the call. Yes is the answer to that, because number one, this was a five quarterback draft. In fact, if you watch Davis Mills last night, might think this is a six quarterback draft. Like, he was pretty good.
Because people thought that if he would have stayed in, he would have been a first round draft pick.
He was pretty good.
His issue was he always got hurt in college.
But five went in the first round.
Yeah.
And all five of them are playing.
Yeah.
Right? So, yes, you take a quarterback because this was a draft. But explain also contract wise why, yes, you had to take one in a quarterback draft.
You have to, right? Because you had to reset the cap. If you would have picked up the option on Sam Darnold, I think the option next year is like something like $20 million. And then you have to make a decision on if you're going to give him $42 million. And then you have to.
All the cap on all those spaces that you say you need more people. You can't do that if you're eating up a lot of cap space on a young quarterback.
And Sam would have been good enough not to make you the number one or number two pick this year with what you brought in, with Corey Davis, with Mims, you know, with everything that he had, then he would have been good enough to make you like the fourth or fifth pick, which means that maybe you get the kid from Liberty, maybe you get the kid from Ole Miss. This isn't a quarterback draft that's supposed to be full of talent.
Bold take, if Sam was starting for the Jets against the Patriots, the Jets would have won that game.
Oh, absolutely. No, of course.
So that's the frustrating thing is, but that's right now, and they're thinking long term they'll be better off with Zach Wilson. All right, let's continue. Michael's in Clifton, Michael.
Hello?
What's up, Michael?
Hey, Bar Han, how you guys doing today?
Good. What do you got for us?
Good, Han. A little bit more of just piggybacking off what you were saying about Jones with the Giants this week.
Yeah.
Basically, my bold prediction, I got Daniel Jones from throwing over 400 yards.
Ooh.
Four touchdowns.
Wow.
And I got Barkley running for over 100 yards and a touchdown.
All right, that one I don't know if I can go that far. Does Kenny Galladay catch something? Other than maybe a beat on the sideline if he keeps yelling at his coach. No, I don't know about 400 yards, but I think Daniel Jones just looks good.
Yeah. Slayton can mess around and give you a semi-yard bomb.
Well, can he catch one? First pass coming to him, he's like, let me get rid of this.
But he got one for him. He got a touchdown for him. But that other one was slightly, just a hair. Once he broke it and he got that far, I thought Jones should have threw a more friendly ball where it's more of a moon ball.
Yeah.
To give him a chance to adjust. Like,
Keyshawn said,
it
hit his hands, he should have caught it.
Man, it hit his finger, man. Like, come on, man. Like, you can always reach farther with one hand than you reach with two. You reach with one, you can turn your body. You reach with two, it squares your body up. Your arms are shorter.
Yeah.
So what was he supposed to do other than dive? But it's weird because it went over his head. It's not like he can see it coming, like, from the side.
Yeah, it was an awkward one, sure. But I would not be surprised if Daniel Jones had another big game. All right, let's Scott in Brooklyn. Scotty.
Hey, What's up, boys?
What's
Happy
up?
Friday.
Happy Friday,
nice
yes, sir.
Hot take. I got a nice little hot take for you, boys.
What do you got?
Kenny Galladay having himself his giant coming out part of this Sunday. You saw him yelling at JG. Well, I mean, Coach Garrett. He was yelling at JG. Think he's going to have 100-plus yards, a touchdown, a giant win on Sunday. They didn't lose on Eli Day, man. Come on,
No,
son.
You can't, right? You can't. What you need is a helmet catch on Eli Day. Scott, thanks for the call. But, yeah, I mean, I could see, again, Galladay made it clear he wants the damn ball. He made it clear he wasn't happy
And then what about Tony? You talk about walking it back. See, what happened?
I wasn't even talking football.
I wasn't even talking about football, man. Okay. What are you talking about? I was talking about Pokemon. I was trying to find a Pokemon Go, man. I was playing the game, man.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but, all right. Stop it. Tell your story walking, as Michael K would say. Coop in Brooklyn, Coop.
Yeah, hey, buddy. How y'all doing today?
What's happening, man?
And ain't nothing, man. My bold prediction is the Giants to win 24-10 this Sunday. I think if Garrett keeps the playbook like he did from the last game when we had Jones running and we also had Saquon running, mixing it up, keeping the defense off, we'll do real good. We gave the last two games up.
Yep.
These games, like this game right here, is very important. And I believe that playbook that Jason Garrett got is going to make it, because with Daniel Jones running, with Saquon running, believe me, the defense will be off. They will be off balance. They won't know what to do. I like that playbook.
Yeah, when you look at it, he really started this last year with Daniel Jones, with the RPOs keeping it.
Right.
I mean, we see Sam Darnold. Just because you're not Lamar Jackson don't mean you can't, you know, make the defense pay if they over-pursue or if they disrespect the fact that you have the ability to keep the ball. So I think a nice, healthy balance of that. But Galladay's got to step up, man, because they need somebody that can get that second safety to commit. So that Shepard, who's having the best season out of all Giants so far, can go ahead and work the intermediate routes, because he's playing outstanding right now. But he needs somebody else to come help him out. Is Ingram going to play this week? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. So, like, we need him to be available, because he makes the difference, because he takes away the linebackers and stuff. Where?
Yeah, Shepard's been their best so far. Yeah. He's been great. No complaints about him. Nope. I do agree, though. Saquon does add a different dimension. How much more is he able to ramp it up this week? But it's really been all about Daniel Jones. Yeah. And I'm sorry, after the first 2 weeks, I don't think you have any complaints.
Yeah. I'm going to need that defense to be better. It was sold as elite last year.
This game is setting up for the Giants to get themselves on track and to feel good, because you should have won week two. You get this win, now you can start believing in what you thought you were going to be. But if you lose it, I'm writing you off. Absolutely.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Bart, you know what? We said this on the audio files in the previous hour. For those who weren't listening, though, you know today's anniversary, right? Anniversary of the laugh. Well, no.
Woody Woodpecker?
Woody Woodpecker, no.
Oh.
No. Kawhi Leonard. Right when he did that? I'm a fun guy. Kawhi Leonard might not play at all this season, in fact.
Wow.
With the injury. Yeah.
But I thought it was only partially torn.
No. He's not on the ESPN Top 100 that they always put out right before training camp. So, again, training camps will be open next week. And so he's not on in it because it's players that you might not play the whole season, like even your guy, Jamal Murray, also. Like players that might not play for the season,
put
him on the list, all right?
Okay.
It's like KD, you know, 2 years ago, he wasn't on the list for a reason. So the Top 100 came out, and you know, it's always interesting to look and see, like, where guys rank. Remember when Anthony Davis was number two last year and we're all like, really?
All off bubble boy.
There's the laugh. Right, Anthony Davis has slipped to 9.
Mm.
Still top 10, but slipped to 9. That's a big drop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. LeBron James has kind of held the title.
The brick.
For, you know, like the best player in the world for, I mean, pretty much, it's been a while now, right? Like he's the guy.
Was he on your list? He wasn't on mine.
As a top player, number one?
Yeah, he wasn't mine.
Right, he's not number one. LeBron James has fallen.
The throne king?
Yeah. To number 3.
Oh.
So he's not even the second best player considered. Who would you guess is the second best player before you make the obvious guess of who's number one?
I would probably say Luka.
No. And I'm a little surprised too where Luka is.
LeBrick James.
Yeah.
Do I get a second pick?
Of course.
Oh, who's that dude?
Yeah, Luka Doncic. Believe it or not, I was a little caught
Jokic?
Off guard. Jokic, no, the MVP, no.
The MVP is not.
No. He's not considered that either. Yeah, Luka is number four.
Oh, okay. Oh, duh. My bad. My bad. The champ. It got to be the champ. Yeah. Giannis. Okay. The champ. Yes. Okay.
Giannis, who was three last year, so he leapfrogs. LeBron goes to number two. Giannis Antetokounmpo is considered the second best player in the league.
But he won a championship.
But what does that have to do with anything?
He was the best player on the best team. All
right. I'm putting a team together in the NBA. Who are you taking first, Giannis or LeBron? Go.
I'm taking Harden. I'm not a LeBrick fan.
James Harden remains top 10. In fact, he's 10. So number one is, I think we can all say, is pretty obvious, and that's Kevin Durant.
How old is Kevin Durant now?
30.
That's it? 30, no, he got to be like 32. Yeah, he's got to be older. Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Not yet. Not yet. But KD is now, and he was sixth last year. Now, it was, of course, coming up the
second. We didn't even know what he was. Yeah. You know how good you got to be? You know how much respect you got to get to be sixth and you ain't played in 18 months?
Doing what he did about that, again, coming from the injury that he came from, which has really derailed many careers. Or at least made you marginal or ordinary. He was actually, I would argue, better than the player we remember him before. And he was unbelievable before. Yeah. Right? He's just really good. Like, it's insane. He's really good. The question, of course, is the window. Can he be this good for how much longer? Can he be this, that good? He comes into this season, as everybody looking at him thinking, you are one toe from being in the conference finals. That
and,
close.
And then reinforcement, because James Harden would have been healthier. Mm.
Right, so he's considered he's number one, Giannis two, LeBron three. So the Nets have three players in the top 20. So I told you, Harden is 10, he was 9, now he's 10. Yeah. And Kyrie Irving moves up from 24 from last year to 20.
Where's Ben Simmons?
I'm going to scroll through the list
Since Ben Simmons.
Well, that's been, you just throw that grenade.
Well, since that's been offered up, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, Stephen A. opened that Pandora's box, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to see.
You say that?
Are you getting apples? Is this apples to apples? Is it 20 and 25? If they're real close, then, hey, it might be worth doing and do the trade.
Well, it's funny you say that because, as we discussed, the concern about Kyrie is availability. And as we know, again, the rules that are the laws that are in New York and also in San Francisco, if you're not vaccinated, you can't play in your home games for your home team. And for Kyrie, which is weird, I wonder how this rule works. Kyrie is considered a road player at the Knicks, right? So would he be allowed to play, the Knicks?
Yeah, he can play at the Knicks.
But not allowed to play at Barclays?
That would be correct.
Like, is that technically, I need to get a ruling on that, because that's the rule. The rule is if you're the home player, you can't play in your building if you're not vaccinated. But road players are allowed to play because you're considered a guest who's visiting.
Right.
So how does that work?
That's
when
weird.
He plays at the Garden.
Yeah, that's weird. That's funny.
Or also when he plays at Golden State.
We call that nuance.
Is that what we call that?
Yeah, super nuance. All right.
We call that a nuance. Well, anyways, with that in mind, Sean Marks met with the media, I believe, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked about the Nets in their situation, again, with this rule, and whether or not he can confirm that all players are vaccinated. Here's what he said.
Obviously, I can't get into details for a variety of different, whether it's HIPAA violations or whoever it may be. I think we all understand what's at stake. You know, we've had very candid conversations. Those are individual decisions that whether it's a staff member or whether a player has to come to terms with. It's obviously out of our control. We are supporting getting the vaccination and putting out a healthy squad. So at this point, I think we're ready to go into the season. We don't see these, whether it's a citywide mandate or whether it's the league mandate, to follow being any sort of hindrance to us putting out a team.
All right, so you see how you didn't want to, you know, can't get into details. Players and staff understand what comes with this, and it's your decision. What comes with it is the possibility of a player not being available to at least half of your games.
Right.
Right? And he is a very important player to them as one of their big three.
But how do you...
So if he isn't, which nobody knows, there is a report out there, which I don't know, so I don't like to speculate on something like this because it is very personal, but there is a report that he is not.
Let's call Jay Will.
And that is, if that's the case, so when Sean Marks says that he can't get into details, he's kind of saying...
We're not all vaccinated.
Yeah, we're not. Because here's why. Scott Perry, GM of the Knicks, he meets with the media today. And when he's asked about it, he says this.
I'm proud to say that our organization, players, coaches, and staff, 100% vaccinated. And I think it's a credit to our players, too, in particular, that they took this thing very seriously and took the responsibility to get that done. So we're very proud of that fact. And we're going to move forward.
So they make it clear, they decide not to keep that personal, that yes, 100% vaccinated, no issues, everybody will be able to play in all games.
But what's this? Like, this is what I need to know. Like, what's the protocol if you go into training camp and you're not vaccinated? Can you not even go to training camp? It's not a game, but you're in a-
I think it has to do with because you're in a building with, like, 20,000 people.
Okay, so if that's the case,
I believe,
like,
it's for event, like that kind of, for events like that, because you have to, I believe, show proof of vaccination to get into the event. So I believe it's kind of like it's for everyone.
That's weird, right? Because, like, almost if you're an athlete here and you live in New York, you can't go anywhere. You can't go and sit down in a restaurant anywhere and get served if you don't show your vaccination card.
Mm.
So I was like, it's tough to even move around in New York. You can go to malls.
But you know that, like, you know that going in. It's a personal decision, and you know that going in. This is what you decide to do. And, you know, we'll see. But it sounds like, again, from Mark's, like, you hear how easy Perry said it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, we are. So I can say it. But Mark's is like, I can't get into details on that. Right. Would then suggest to you, they're not. And if that's the case, who is it? And how much of an impact could it have on a team that we all expect is going to win the championship, right?
Patty Mills is going to be the starting point guard when they come and win their home games.
I just think it's also weird that can they play at the Garden, though?
Yeah, that's weird. That's interesting.
You know, like, even though it's the same city, that's you're considered a visitor.
Right.
So bizarre. But I don't know, like, that's going to be that's another big story.
Well, we hear out West, Wiggins going through the same thing.
Yeah.
He's not vaccinated. He's nearly not as important as. Yeah.
But they're having these conversations. You have to have them, but you certainly can't force anybody.
Join Team 98.7
to do anything. Thank you, Don. So, you know, like, I wonder what's going to happen with this story. I really do. Do you care at all where the Knicks rank in the top 100 for ESPN? Should I share that too? It's not very high. The highest
Julius Randle,
highest ranked
probably
player.
40. No, he's probably like 64.
No, you go ahead. You were right the first time.
Okay, 42.
Yes, nailed it. Nice. The only top 50 player would be Julius Randle, the All NBA second team.
This would have.
Kemba Walker is 70.
Okay,
and then you have Derrick Rose at 91 and Mitchell Robinson.
He made the top 100 though. I'm surprised Derrick Rose made the top 100 though.
He was a finalist for Sixth Man of the Year.
Okay, Mitchell Robinson is making a list.
Everybody loves Mitchell Robinson.
Is he?
He's gonna be an X factor, man. I'm telling you.
Is he about to come out and have his coming out party?
I'm hearing he's in a really good place physically. He's got to get himself 100%. I'm not sure if he's 100% back with the foot. You got to be careful with big men with the foot.
Yeah, yeah.
So
did he have Liz Frank?
Want to make sure that's. I don't believe so.
Just a broken bone.
I think it was something. But again, big man with feet. You always got to be careful. Yeah. So. When he is 100%, though, he's going to be such a big part of what they do.
Yeah.
That's why the Knicks are this weird X factor. You don't really know what they're going
to do. He's going to be Capella. And then you got, what's the guy's name? Fournier.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but still, four players at least in the top 100 is new. The only thing that a lot of people are upset about is that R.J. Barrett is not one of them.
RJ Barrett still ain't made the top 25 under 25. And he like 21.
This kid is so disrespected. It's not even
It's
funny.
Ridiculous, man. Just because he built like Buck Williams, man. He got a chest like a peacock.
Strong kid. Is he 21 yet? That's what I want to know. But no, it's just, look, it's amazing to think this, right, Bart? We're week three of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball playoffs is literally a week from Monday, right? Yeah. Monday or Tuesday, right? The wild card will be. And the NBA training camps. I mean, the Islanders and Rangers play Sunday night in a preseason game.
Wow.
You have hockey on Sunday.
Remember what do we call it? You call it sports euphoria when we had it in the spring?
Sports nirvana.
Yeah, nirvana.
Everybody plays at the same time. So, every sport plays at the same time.
So now we're going to get that in the fall, too.
Well, we got that last year during the pandemic because we had everyone in their league.
Right.
We never had it before where everyone was playing in live action. I think... hockey, basketball, baseball,
football.
We get that in October.
That's what I'm saying. We get the winter version of that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So like now, like instead of one time a year, we get it twice a year. Oh.
Well.
And it's just flip-flop.
It's all happening right now. Yeah, it's a very busy weekend in sports. especially here in New York.
Glad we're able to catch our breath, man.
Giants, important game. Zach Wilson, Jets, important game. Just, again, not necessarily if you think the Jets are going to go on and do anything, but more or less because of the decision they made and what you want to see him do.
The Yankees.
You know, the Knicks and Nets begin their seasons training camp next week. Islanders and Rangers, same thing. They're already in their training camp. Islanders, by the way, you know, we talk about winning in New York, yeah. And I know nobody's a big, you know, Islanders fan. There's not a lot of Islander fans, but they are, and they're passionate. But, hey, the next team that could win a championship in New York, it could be them.
Oh, you gave up on the Yankees, huh?
Yeah, come on. Like, as far as, if you're asking me to put money down on the next team to win a championship in New York right now, yeah. I think I would power rank the Islanders ahead of everyone.
Oh.
I mean, it's crazy to say.
Over the Nets? You just go,
yeah, what am I saying?
Jeez.
Yeah, I got a little crazy.
Valid.
I got a little crazy.
Hockey crazy? You love it?
Crazy.
Let's do that hockey.
I got a little crazy.
Okay, what are you talking about?
Hang on a second. I got too excited. I'll put them right behind the Nets. How about
okay,
that?
Okay.
Cool. Right behind the Nets.
Would you be
to the Final Four 2 years in a row. They're that close.
Would you be satisfied
with
a Nets championship and a Islanders championship? Would you be satisfied?
If a Nets championship would satisfy me?
I'm just saying, listen, we're doing it. We're talking New York sports. We're talking New York sports, man. We're talking about get the monkey off our back.
Like,
that's since 2012. All
right, what I feel like,
would you go to the parade?
Would anybody?
Buy the championship hat?
You're talking about two teams that probably have the lowest fan base of all the New York teams.
But don't we all become one?
Smallest. Smallest.
But don't we all become one when they get to the championship game?
I don't know. Why don't you ask? All right, let's ask. 800-919-3776. If you're a fan of anyone but the Nets or Islanders in New York, would you still be happy if they won championships because it's New York?
Or would you celebrate?
I guarantee I know all the answers. All of them. I can't imagine there's anybody that's like, yeah, I'd be real happy.
Why not?
Unless you're a fan of that team. No. I don't think it's going to happen. Bart, were you happy when the Giants won the championship after?
No, I was playing. Listen, I don't want anybody to win. I hope they cancel the game if I'm playing and it's a sport I play in. But it's different if it's like, okay, like now if the Giants won, I would celebrate.
Yeah.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Christian McCaffrey is going to be out for a couple of weeks. Due to the hamstring strain. So this is the report now that came across, right? So if you had him in fantasy,
good
like
luck.
That sucks, right? Like looked like he was going to be right back into form, but not. And now they got to be real careful. And that's why I said the Giants are bringing Saquon Barkley along slowly for a good reason.
Is that what they're doing?
He said trust, right? I have to build trust, and that tells you that he doesn't have trust yet, which means it takes time. So take him along slowly, and in the meantime, let Daniel Jones kind of be the guy facilitating the offense and not have it built around Saquon, but have it built around Daniel Jones. It's a huge year for him anyway.
It's a huge year for Saquon
and,
as well.
And Saquon, no, you're right. And a huge weekend for the Yankees. All right, Bart. Yankees, Red Sox, you hear a lot of this, of course, Michael Kay show, and of course the only voice to hear on the Yankees is Michael Kay. That's coming up in 10 minutes, so be prepared for that and all the in-depth coverage of this weekend's series, which is a critical one. How much are we buying into the Yankees, and at least, you know, can they salvage this after it's been such a stumble down the stretch? After 13 straight wins and what was it, 35-11, whatever it was, you felt like, okay, they have a chance to be a World Series contender. Now it's like get to the wild card, and you don't even know if they can get out of that. So they play the Red Sox right now. What are they? They're a game back, right? A game back of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And they can come out of this series with wild card one, which means you host at Yankee Stadium, which would be great. But right now, Fangraphs has them at 56% chance to just make the wild card, where Toronto, who lost and is now a game back of the Yankees, so at least the Yankees are in it at the wild card two, Toronto's at 40%, according to Fangraphs. Now, the schedule is really the thing to keep an eye on. Because the Yankees have Boston three times, and then you have Toronto, which is, again, you can fight them off. And then you finish against the Rays, who pretty much have the division locked up, but it's the Rays. That's your kryptonite.
Yeah, the Rays.
Wouldn't they love to ruin your season, right? Most popular team in Tampa is not the Rays, by the way. It's the Yankees. So Tampa would love to ruin it for all the people that live in Tampa who watch.
And who'll be hating on them.
Like people like my father-in-law. Right from New York.
That's gotta suck, right?
Who lives
down
there?
Retirement world,
and
yeah.
He watches the Yankees, but he watches the Rays too. But he's more of a Yankees fan. But the Rays are better, and he knows it. And he hates it.
They're cheaper, too.
Sorry, Al. Meanwhile, although he's become more of a like Tampa fan, which I'm starting to bother me, roots for the Lightning. Like, how could you root for the Lightning?
Because he gets to go to their games.
Yeah, because they're good. Because they're good. I mean, it's Tampa Bay down there, man. They just win. Boston, after playing the Yankees, they've got Baltimore.
So
yeah, and then the Nationals. Talk about two teams that are done.
But who does the Yankees have?
I said the Yankees play Boston, Toronto, and then the Rays.
Ooh, Toronto.
Yeah, you finish against the Rays next weekend. All right, Toronto then has Minnesota. They suck, right? Then the Yankees, as we mentioned, and then they play Baltimore. I mean, come on.
So Baltimore is going to be the key to who goes to the championship.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Who's beat Baltimore? Isn't that ridiculous? Who's lost to Baltimore? And the Yankees have lost to Baltimore more than any of the other teams.
And you wonder why I'm having a hard time buying in.
But
I'm trying real hard, Bart Scott. I'm trying real hard.
That Gary looks scary.
Stop it.
The Kraken hit two home runs.
Yeah, I know. But that's the problem, though. Is it's like that.
That's enough to make you sign him next year.
Just enough to get you fired, right? It's just good. Just
falling from 6 to 8. So that's just a kick in the crotch.
It really is.
If I would have told you top three before this night started, you'd take that in a heartbeat.
Well, I'd take R.J. Barrett. Take R.J. Barrett. You'll get Zion anyway. Yeah. You just got to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, lying. Like they tried everything. He's like, man, first of all, I don't need you to tell me to read books. Right? I don't need no suggestions from you. Like, you got rid of Lonzo Ball. Now he's pissed. You got rid of
Griffin's in a tough spot down in New Orleans. It's a hard play. It's a third coach now. You got to deal with this kid. Like, it's not easy down there.
Third coach? Because he hired the third coach. Nobody told him to go with Van Gundy. He should have went with the other Van Gundy.
It's not easy. It's just not. It's not easy. So we'll see. We'll see. Monday when we're back, we will see where we are with the Yankees. We will see. This series is going to say a lot. We got Gerrit Cole. You got Gerrit Cole tonight. You got to see what happens. You got to see. Of course, and it goes from the past. Evaldi.
Are you watching? Or are you just going to hear about it and then go watch it later?
I'm watching tonight.
You're going to watch that.
Although I will watch the kid from Liberty, too, because I love quarterback.
Right, right.
But I will watch tonight. Sunday night, though, I don't know. I might be checked out by then. If I feel like...
Are you watching?
No, I don't know. I might watch football. That's a good game. I might have to watch that game. Come on, man. That's a good game. Aaron Rodgers against that 49ers defense. I'm going to watch that game. I'm not sure I'm going to be tuning in. It's Sunday Night Baseball, too. I should be tuning in, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure because I don't know if I – like, I'll tell you what. If Zach Wilson has a good game, I might watch the Yankees. How about that?
You'll be in a good
mood. Because I'll be right. It's the mood I'm going to be in.
Damn it.
I might watch Islanders Rangers. How about that? Little preseason
Sunday
hockey.
Night football. Who plays Sunday night?
I just told you.
The San Francisco?
Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers. Yeah. His kryptonite, too. All right, let's – a couple of calls here real quick on you have this theory that New Yorkers just love New York winning, so it doesn't matter. So if the Nets and Islanders win championships, you think New Yorkers will be happy. Let's see. Jacob in the Bronx, do you agree with Bart? Jacob.
Yes. So if the Nets won, I would care. If the Islanders won, I would not care.
All right. You would care if the Nets won. So you'd be happy if the Nets won? That's what I'm trying to figure. All right, yeah. Thanks, Jacob. All right, let's see. We got another one here. Char in Brooklyn. Do you agree with Bart that it just doesn't matter if it's a New York team that wins, everybody in New York's happy?
Sean in Brooklyn.
Sean, okay.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You don't have any pride?
No chance. Grew up a Rangers fan, no way. Grew up a Knicks fan, not happening. Nets? No one roots for the Nets. That's ridiculous.
So, I mean... Yo, at some point you got to have pride because people we become the butt of people jokes. First it was Boston that won everything. Now it's Tampa that's winning everything. Don't you just want somebody here to win something so we don't have to be a national joke?
It's the two teams you're the greatest city of all. Fan bases.
You're the greatest
city. You're going with the two teams with the smallest fan bases, though. Anthony and Middle Village.
All right, this is simple, Bart. You're making it very well known that you're not a New Yorker by saying what you just said.
I always say that.
So listen, and I think Han will agree with me. Yankees, it's like it's a revelation if the Yankees win the World Series. New York City will go crazy.
The whole damn city goes.
If the Knicks were to win an NBA Finals, it would be like the return of Christ. If they were to win the NBA Finals, it would be unbelievable. Nets, nobody would care. Islanders may, Long Island has diehard fans. Rangers would be nuts. And I think, that's about it. I mean, as far as anything else, it's really the Yankee and Knicks town. Anything else, Giants,
Yeah, Giants too. Yeah, you got
Giants. People go crazy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. Thanks, Ed. Like that. I think that's the. See, I'm trying to teach you, Bart. Like that's I'm what I feel like it's going to be. I think it's.
I feel sorry for you guys.
Are not going to have as much pop.
Well. Tell me this. Like, would a small fan base be super obnoxious? Like, can the Nets fans that are Nets fans walk around and crazy, like all up
fan,
in y'all face?
As an Islander fan, yeah. Of course,
you'd
want to be obnoxious. Nets fans should be as well. Okay. You should, because your team just won a championship and the big brother, it's been years since they won one. So of course you're going to be that way.
Okay, right.
But when you talk about lifting the city and getting all this energy,
everybody gets behind. So
now the one thing I'll say is that though, you know, in 69, it was the Nets and the Mets and the Jets. So there's always some combination of that.
This is 98.7 ESPN.